Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this great feast day of Christ the King, help us to know fully what it means, what it is to say that you are King, and help us to treat you as a King in what we say and what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Big whoop. I don't know if that phrase is as popular of a term today as it was when I was growing up and my siblings and myself and friends at school and cousins when we were less than impressed with something that someone said to us or showed us. We would say, big whoop. I was reminded of this when I was a week or two ago when I was at recess. Not my recess, although Father Don, it would be nice if I got a recess.
Father Mark, you can have a recess tomorrow to play in the snow after all.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, as I was at recess, and I don't remember quite what I was doing, I was something with a ball, and whether it was four square or throwing a football, upon one of the kids seeing it, me throw the ball, he said, big whoop, Father Mark, watch this. And then threw the ball, and I didn't think I could be so deflated upon a first grader saying something to me, and then I went to get the ball and threw it farther than him. No, I didn't do that, but I wanted to. As Father Don mentioned a couple times already in this liturgy, this Mass, we celebrate Christ the King. This is the last in the liturgical year, the last weekend of the year, next week already being Advent. And with this being Christ the King, I want to do four things. I want to show us how we love the King, we hate the King, big whoop Christianity, and a remedy to big whoop Christianity. First, we love the King. So many of our ancient stories or legends go like this. Once upon a time, in a land far away, there was a king, a great king, who ruled with power and majesty and wisdom, and mercy and compassion and justice. And when that king ruled, the land and the people experienced great prosperity. They flourished. And something happened where the king had to go away or was forced away, and darkness fell upon the land, and the people suffered. And because of that, they longed for and awaited the king's return. I think of stories like The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the white witch rules Narnia, and the people of Narnia suffered, and they longed for and awaited King Aslan to return. Or you have Robin Hood or King Arthur, Lord of the Rings, old legends, new legends, we're fascinated with kings. And not just legends, but also where there's still monarchy. Right? They have celebrity status. For those of us that don't, like in the U.S. here, we don't have it here, we look over the ocean and give them celebrity status. People went crazy over the recent royal wedding. Who was invited? Who wasn't invited? What did she wear? Why this fascination with kings? Especially considering the actual human record of kings is really bad. Usually marked with tyranny, oppression, slavery. Practically every human monarchy throughout time has been overturned and replaced with democracy. So why this fascination with kings? Simply this, you and I were made to be ruled. It's in our blood to have a king, to love the king, a king who rules in all his glory, his power, and majesty. We were wired to bow down and adore the king. And if we don't acknowledge Jesus as king, our human nature will find a king. You will find a king. I will find a king. It's in us. We're wired for it. So we love the king, but we also hate the king. So as much as we love the king, if we're honest with ourselves, we hate the king. I see letters and emails already coming. Father Mark, how dare you say I hate the king? I believe in God. I love God. 85% of Americans, if you ask them if they believed in God, they would say, yes, I believe in God. 85% of Americans. If you ask them, do you believe in the God who created the universe? Yeah, you bet I do. Do you believe in the God of love? Of course I do. Broadly speaking, it's not the concept of God that gives people problems. What gives people problems, and when I say people, I mean you and me, part of that. What gives people problems is a God who's king. The one who says, I own you. The one who says, be subject to my rule. The one who says, I must have control of every aspect of your life. That's the king we hate. That's the God we hate. If we're honest with ourselves. And if we don't admit to ourselves that there's a part of my heart where I hate God as king, then living big whoop Christianity will always be a temptation. Because it means that you and I haven't fully grasped what it is that God is asking of us to place him as king. God is not so much concerned with us believing in God. You believe in God, you come to Mass, big whoop. The God of the Bible demands everything. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would rather see God as a chief advisor, a consultant. We'd rather see him as a life coach or an elected official. And if we're in this mode, maybe our entire lives, of seeing Jesus as more as one of these things and not as king, then we're giving Christianity simply lip service. We're practicing big whoop Christianity. Going to Mass can be a form of lip service. It can be a form of big whoop Christianity. I know this because the majority of my life, that's how I lived. Never lose sight that Christianity is demanding. Jesus as king is demanding. Big whoop Christianity is not demanding at all. And as we become more and more secular, as the world becomes more and more secular, whether you're a teen, you're a college student, you're an adult, you're a priest, you're a bishop, we should feel more and more of the tension of the world looking at us trying to live as Jesus as our king and then laughing at us. We should feel that tension because the world is not going to stop becoming more and more secular. And so if we're not feeling that tension, right, if we ourselves slowly with the world become more secular, if the church slowly with the world becomes more and more secular, we are living big whoop Christianity. And big whoop Christianity is not biblical. He demands everything. So what's the remedy to big whoop Christianity? Treat Jesus as a king. Treat him like a king. These four ways. Obey him. Do whatever he says, whether you like it or not. Don't treat him like a consultant. Don't treat him like an advisor. Obey him. Treat him like a king. Submit to him. All areas of your life. He wants to be king of your time. He wants to be king of our money, our bodies, our sexual life, our relationships, our professional life. Submit to him. Every area of your life. Treat him like a king. Trust him. Accept what he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not. Say, he must know best. Trust him. Treat him like a king. And lastly, expect big things in prayer. Come to him. Again, after this Mass, this is the last weekend of the last weekend of the month, we'll have prayer teams available to come forward to pray, to receive prayer. Come before the King and ask big things. If we are pessimistic what he can do in my life, we're not treating him like a king. Bring huge petitions. Treat him like a king. Why treat him like a king? Because he died for you and for me. No one loves the way he loves. No one did for you what he did for you. Treat him like a king. We love the king. Our human nature demands that we do. We hate the king. It's wise for us to be careful not to dismiss that too quickly. If we do, we may just be living Christianity as big whoop.